All right, let me say a word or two here while you're turning to the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. If you've, you probably may not can tell it where you're sitting, but if you get up close to me, you'll notice I have some whiskers tonight. And I'm too old to change, and I'm not trying to make a statement, but I've had some trouble with my skin on my face, and it's caused me a little difficulty. So a few weeks back, I went ahead and grew a beard, and as soon as I did, my face cleared up. So I cut it off, and I'm back where I was. So I thought you might rather have beard than blood tonight, okay? So I hope it won't bother you any. I don't have anything against anybody with a beard, but I was telling the pastor, the evangelist is supposed to show up looking the same way he was last time you saw him. And so I'm not doing that tonight. So I hope you'll just kind of overlook that for a moment. Now, we're going to spend a few moments in Genesis chapter 49. I did tell the preacher ahead of time so he wouldn't be surprised. And he said that occasionally he lets shady characters in the pulpit. So I guess we'll be all right tonight. We're going to end up in Genesis 49, but I want to start in Genesis 37. So if you hold, hold your finger there in Genesis 49, and we'll end up there if the Lord will help us before we get all done. I've been dealing with these boys as Jacob deals with them in Genesis 49, and I want to deal with Joseph for a little while tonight. Take me just a few moments, and I want to speak to you about Joseph, and I want to preach tonight on higher hands in the life of Joseph. Higher hands in the life of Joseph. As I was studying the life of Joseph and looking what the Bible says in Genesis 49 and then going back and following the account of Joseph, I noticed that the word hand or hands comes up very often. It seems to be a repeated theme in the life of Joseph. We use this term hands a lot in some of our phraseology, some of our sayings. If you're a fellow like me who likes to have things laid out ahead of time and then things get off the rail and it's not, I'll say, who's handling this? And what I mean is somebody's not doing their job. And then sometimes you know somebody who's a micromanager and you call them a hands-on type of person. Or sometimes you get in a situation where you feel a little helpless and you just say, it's out of my hands now. Or you might say, it's in their hands now. And so we're familiar with this phraseology of hands. But I find it repeated, this word or words again and again in Joseph's life. Now, when we start in Genesis 37 and verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. I have a little cough tonight, so if I have to cough, I'll come back. You wait for me, okay? The lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. If we would read on, you're familiar with these verses, we'd read on, we'd find that because of his father's love and the preference that he had for him, his brethren hated him. They envied him. And they planned to get rid of him, do away with him. And in the latter part, or a little later in Genesis 37, when he goes to check on his brethren, I want you to notice what it says in verse 18, Genesis 37. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him, cast him into some pit. We will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Now watch these next two verses. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him that he might rid him out of their hands. Then in verse 27, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him. So the first set of hands that we find, and I'm going to call them tonight sinister hands. The first set of hands we find Joseph in are the hands of his brethren. And here's what they want to do. They want to persecute him. They don't want him to enjoy what his father has given him. They want to harm him. They want to do him wrong. They are jealous of him, not necessarily because of anything he has done, but because of the blessings of God
God upon his life. And I want to remind you, in the day that we live, if you live for God and the blessings of God are upon you, there will also be those around who will not be happy about it, and they'll want to get their hands on you and persecute you and stop you from glorifying God. You don't necessarily have to say anything to them. You just have to live for God, and somebody's going to get upset about it. You praise the Lord a little bit, somebody's going to get upset about it. So don't be surprised about the sinister hands that would like to persecute the people of God. So there is this set of hands. Now there's another set of hands. We'll find them in Genesis 39 and verse 1. Look here in this passage, please. And Joseph was brought down to to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, watch this now, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So we find Joseph in his brother's hands. They want to persecute him. Now we find Joseph in the hands of the Ishmaelites. And what do they want? They want to profit off him. They want to make money off him. Now I want to remind you, there are those in this world who are interested in making money off the people of God. They want to make merchandise of the gospel. I remember Brother Billy Kelly telling one time, the old preacher man that I used to travel with, he was driving down the road in late at night trying to stay awake, and all he had was an AM radio. And he said, I was turning the dial while I was driving trying to find something to listen to, and a fella came on the radio, and he said he was kind of preaching, sort of, he said. And so I listened to him. When he got done preaching, the fella said, now folks, I want you to send us an offering. If you'll send us an offering, I will send you one of our blessed willow limbs. He said, when you get this blessed willow limb in your house, it'll straighten out all of your financial difficulties. And so Brother Kelly said, I was listening. He said, then the man said this, now folks, we need to hear from you. We're behind on our bills and we need your help. And Brother Kelly said, I was alone in the truck, nobody in there, but I looked at the radio and said, why don't you use one of your blessed willow limbs? But that's the age we live in. They want to make merchandise of the gospel. They want to make merchandise off you. Can I just remind you of something? That radio preacher is not going to visit you in the hospital. That television preacher is not going to pray for your children. They're not going to show up when you're in dire need of help and need the man of God. So don't worry about that crowd. Let them take care of themselves, and you support your local church and the work of God here, and God will help you through that local church. So there are those sinister hands that want to persecute, and sinister hands that want to profit. And then there's another set of hands. Joseph goes into the house. The Bible said in verse 7 of chapter 39, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? But look in verse 12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that she had left his garment, he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called the men of the house. So first he's in the hands of his brothers, then he's in the hands of the Ishmaelites. Now if this woman, if he runs and leaves his outer garment in her hand, she must have had her hands on him. I would say to you tonight, not only are those that want to persecute you and those that want to profit off you, but there are some who would like to pervert you. They would like to get us involved in immorality and uncleanness and ungodliness. That's why we ought to be very careful about our circumstances. We ought to walk circumspectly. We ought to be separated. We ought to be careful about the places we go and the people we go with, the things we say, the things we watch, the things we listen to. We ought to be careful. You say, well, preacher, if you're preaching to teenagers, that would be appropriate. Well, I would just say this to you. I know a lot of old men that ruin their ministry at the end of their ministry. I know a lot of elderly folks who are breaking up. There's immorality in the church. Why? Because we're not careful. We ought to be careful. We ought to be careful, men with women, women, we just ought to be careful. I don't need to go on much further. Let's just be careful. Amen. The Bible talks about delighting in the wife of thy youth. And Paul said this. He said, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Right. And so I take that to mean, unless she's my wife, I ought to be careful about that. Amen. I always get in trouble when I say that, but anyway, it's true. So let's be careful. Let's walk circumspectly. Let's be careful about our attitude toward others and the purity of our heart, and be careful about our actions. Why? Because there's some that like to get their hands on us. So not only are there sinister hands in Joseph's life, but there's another set of hands I want you to notice, and these I will call serving hands, and these are the hands of Joseph. What is Joseph going to do while all these people are getting their hands on him? What's he going to do with his hands? Well, apparently, he's going to purpose in his heart to serve God no matter what. I notice in verse, in this passage, I notice in verse number 2 in the Lord, chapter 39, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. What is Joseph doing while folks are trying to ruin him? He's keeping his hands busy for God. But there's something more important than keeping your hands busy for God, and that is keeping your eyes upon the Lord in the midst of the trial. What'll keep your hands busy? If you keep your eyes on Him. You know, an interesting thing about Joseph, in all of the major events of his life, the turning points, if you will, in his life, he brings God up. Have you ever noticed it? She said, lie with me. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He gets thrown in the prison, and again, his hands are busy for God. He gets thrown in the prison, and what does the Bible say? He comes in, the butler and the baker are there, and they're sad. It always tickled me, because he walks in there sad, and Joseph says to them in the prison, why look ye so sadly today? And I want to say, because we're all in prison, that's why we're sad. But they're sad because they've had a dream and they don't know how to interpret it. And here's what Joseph says. He said, do not interpretations belong unto God? Tell me the dream thereof. He tells them the interpretations. They come true. Later on, Pharaoh has one. And when Pharaoh has the dream about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, and then the butler who's been restored to his place, he remembers Joseph and they bring him up. And when Joseph comes and stands before Pharaoh, here's what Pharaoh said. He said, I've heard of thee that thou canst interpret dreams. Joseph does not look at him and say, well, I got a pretty good record so far. Here's what he said. He said, it's not in me, O king. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Later on, he has a son. He has two sons. He names them both with the name of God, that God hath blessed me in the land of my captivity, and God has made me fruitful, and God has made me forget my father and all that land. And then later on, his brothers comes, and he says, do this, for I fear God. Later on, he'll say this to them. They'll talk to him. He'll say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good. And finally, when he's on his deathbed, he calls them in, and he said, I die, but God shall surely visit you. Every time we turn around, Joseph's bringing up God. You can tell where his mind is. He reminds me of Isaiah when it said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. How could Joseph keep his hands busy? Because he had his eyes on the Lord. You keep your eyes on the Lord, and all those hands that are against you that will cause you difficulty and cause you trouble, you can keep your hands busy in the midst of it if you keep your eyes on Jesus. So he's busy, his hands in Potiphar's house. He's serving, and then he keeps busy his hands in the prison house. Verse 22, he's thrown in the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer thereof. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph in the prison keeps his hands busy for God. You know, someone said, well, preacher, he did right and he went to prison. Well, I want you to listen to me. He's going to prison no matter what he does. Right. If he says yes to that woman, he's going to end up in a prison of lust and lies and loneliness. Yeah. It won't be a prison with bars, but it'll be much worse. She'll tire of him. He will miss the will of God. He'll have to live a lie if he says yes to her. So he says no to her, and he ends up in the prison. What kind of prison is it? It's a prison of freedom. He has more freedom in the prison than his brothers do outside, and this woman does outside. And it's a prison with favor, because the Bible said that the jailer gave him favor, and it's a prison with a future. You say, well, preacher, if I do right, it's going to cost me. It'll cost you, but it'll pay off in the end. Amen. Just stay by the stuff. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your hands clean. Keep on serving. So we have the sinister hands and we have the serving hands. He served in Potiphar's house. He served in the prison. And then when they bring him up to Pharaoh's house, and he's going to interpret the dream. And when he interprets the dream, he said 7 years of fatness, 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of famine. They're going to make the rest of it. They're going to swallow it up. And Joseph says, you better get somebody and put them over this. And what does Pharaoh say? Pharaoh says in verse 39 of chapter 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh, took off his ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now I want you to watch verse 44. I know that Joseph is a picture of Christ, but I want you to watch verse 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, hold it, wait a minute. Remember what we've been looking at? All these people got their hands on Joseph. They're all handling him. Watch what it said. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. These people been handling Joseph. Joseph stayed faithful to God. And so Pharaoh said, I tell you what, Joseph, from now on, they can't lift a hand unless you tell them it's okay. I'm telling you, friend, I know Joseph is a picture of Christ. I know that. But I'm telling you, we're going to rule and reign with him. Let's just look forward to it. Let's just keep our hands clean. Let's just live for Jesus. So we have these sinister hands and we have serving hands. I want to show you one more set of hands. We're going to make it to chapter 49. I didn't know if we would or not, but we're going to. Genesis 49. Jacob is now speaking to the boys, and it's Joseph's turn. And I'm going to need a little help. Will you help me, young man? Just come stand right there. It won't be hard. I do have a message where I talk about taking you by the neck, but I won't do that, okay? Now watch in Genesis 49 as Jacob speaks to Joseph, because there's one more set of hands that are really the most important hands in the whole story. Joseph is a fruitful bough, verse 22, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Now watch verse 24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, do you realize what Jacob just said to Joseph? He said, Joseph, it looked like you was in your brother's hands. It looked like you were in the hands of the Ishmaelites. I'm sure, Joseph, you thought you were in the hands of Potiphar's wife. But the truth of the matter is, Joseph, from start to finish, you were in the hands of a sovereign God. Now there's a picture here. And the picture is of a father and a son. That's why I picked somebody shorter and younger looking. So here's my son, and he's going to shoot the bow. And so what we do is we put the bow in his left hand, and daddy puts his hand around that left hand. And then we take the arrow in the right hand, and daddy's got it in his hand. And we put the arrow in the bow, and we point the bow where we want it, and we draw back, and we loose the arrow, and it hits the mark. And the boy said, look what I did. Look what I did. But it wasn't him. It was daddy. And Jacob is saying to Joseph, Joseph, it looked like things were out of control, but they weren't out of control. It looked like somebody else was running your life, but it wasn't all those people you could see. It was the God of heaven, the God of Jacob, who had his hands on you. Thank you, young man. These are, I call these sovereign hands. Sovereign hands. You say, well, preacher, does that mean God was behind what Joseph did, what happened to Joseph? No, it meant God was above what happened to Joseph. I'm not saying God caused it. I'm not saying God even allowed it. I'm saying God was above it. You know, I have such a sovereign God tonight that he can let me be responsible and give me a free will and still be on the throne and still be in control. I'm not a robot, and the world's not filled with robots. We have a free will. We're responsible for what we do, but still we have a big God who is able to turn things around and overcome and bring about his will in our lives. Amen. And what'll happen is, hallelujah, one of these days we'll turn around and we'll see everything that went on, and we'll have an understanding we never had before, and we'll say God knew exactly what he was doing and he did exactly what was right. I'm sure Joseph could look back and say, God, here's what he said: you meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good. God was ruling. You know, when God's ruling, I notice that they have bows and they're shooting at Joseph, but I notice he has a bow, but the Bible doesn't say anything about him shooting back. Did you see it? The archers have sorely grieved him, verse 23, and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. It says he's got a bow, but it doesn't say anything about him shooting. See, if you can't trust God, you're going to have to shoot back all the time. You're going to have to try and work it out on your own and make it. But if you can trust God, you can let God do your shooting for you. And you just keep on serving him. You just keep on going on. And then Jacob says this right at the end. Jacob says, and we can't deal with all the verses of Joseph. We have to go into new territory, other directions. But watch verse 24 again. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And then he said this: from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Who's the shepherd and the stone of Israel? The shepherd is Christ at his first coming, and the stone is Christ at his second coming, when he rolls down out of the mountain and destroys the nations of this earth. And so here's what Jacob's saying. He said, Joseph, I tell you what, you look like Jesus. Yeah. You remind me of the Messiah. You remind me of the Redeemer. You remind me of the Promised One. You know what? That is the ultimate goal of life, to look like Jesus, that someone might see Jesus in us, that someone might see our life and be reminded of Christ and think of Christ. And Joseph makes that. He reaches that ultimate point. Why? Because in the midst of being handled, he just kept his hands busy for God, his eyes upon the Lord, and trusted him. Let's do this tonight. Let's just trust him. Let's keep our eyes focused on him. This happens, that happens, the other thing happens. Let's just say, you know what? I'm just going to do right, because God's going to bless me when I do right. And God's going to take care of it. And I'm just going to trust him. And I'm just going to keep doing right. And God will bless us for it. I think about when Nehemiah and Ezra, both of them talked about the good hand of God upon them. And I'm glad for the good hand of God, aren't you? I'm glad God is in control, and God is in charge, and God is sovereign, and I can trust him. And I think I'm just going to serve him. How about you? I think that's what I'll do. I'll just serve him. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And maybe tonight you're facing a struggle. Maybe tonight you're being attacked. Maybe tonight you've been accused. I don't know what's going on, but in your life, there's just some trouble, like Joseph. And the tendency is to say, well, I'll strike back, or I'll quit, I'll give up, I'll just sit down, it's too much. But why don't we do this? Why don't we say, God's been good, and he's still good, and he's going to stay good, and we're just going to keep serving him. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows better than we know. And I think I'll just trust him tonight, and I'll just serve him, and I'll keep my hands busy when I keep my eyes on him. He'll keep my heart right, and I'll just serve him tonight. Now, Father, help us tonight. Maybe there'd be somebody here lost without God. They need Christ. That when Jacob spoke about that shepherd and that stone, and he is the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. And he's the shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. Maybe somebody doesn't know him tonight and they need Christ. But Lord, maybe there's a Christian here tonight and they just need an encouraging word. They feel like they're being handled and like things are out of hand.
And I pray tonight they might get a glimpse of your hand. It's that good hand that when you placed it on the shoulder of John in the revelation, it gave him strength and lifted him up. I'm thankful for your hand. It's a strong hand, yet a tender hand. I'm thankful for it. Lord, those are the same hands that were stretched out on Calvary. I pray you just help one of your children tonight to trust you. And we'll thank you for it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Let's stand.